If you could be buried next to anyone, who would it be? This has been all over the news this week.
Check this out. It's a chance to lay near two Hollywood icons for eternity is up for auction. Bids for a burial crypt located near Marilyn Monroe and Hugh Hefner will start at $50,000.
Would you want to be buried next to Marilyn Monroe and Hugh Hefner? Have you ever been to that cemetery before?
I've never been there before.
I've been there. So I'm a huge Marilyn Monroe, like, one of those people.
Yeah.
You know, those weirdos that collect everything.
One of those people.
You know who they are.
That encompasses a lot, but okay.
I'm one of those people. And I remember it was actually my honeymoon. We were in that area, and I said to my husband, and this is before there was GPS or anything like that, so we had to literally print out a MapQuest map to go and find it. And you would think that the cemetery where there's so many famous people that are buried there in the LA area, that where Marilyn Monroe is, like, it would be easy to find. It's not easy to find. You have to go, like, down an alleyway, and there's a small parking lot, and then there's this random cemetery, and that's where she is. And how much do you think it costs to be able to be buried next to her?
Previous spots closer to the pair have sold for millions of dollars. Hefner bought his spot next to Monroe for just $75,000 in 1992.
So when I saw this, the first thing I thought was, like, I'll be honest, at this point in my life, I want to be buried with my family.
Right.
Right. But if my family was gone and they didn't want to live, like, be next to me, they were like, forget it. Like, we don't want you next to us for whatever reason. Like, that's where I want to be. I want to be next to Marilyn.
I mean, it's shocking to me that $50,000 actually would be an opening bid for something like this.
Oh, I mean, it's going to go for millions.
I would just think so,
you know,
right?
I've been on, again, being one of those Marilyn crazy people, I've been on the website for dates.
Yeah.
Looking at all the things that are, they're also, this is part of a huge auction. Nothing oddly enough that I really, really would want. But this I thought was fascinating because I'm like, man, like, if you had the opportunity to be buried next to any celebrity that you want, where would you go?
Oh, gosh. I mean, keep me entertained, I guess. Give me the comedian plot area, right? You know, Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle.
They're not dead.
No, I know, but they will be.
Oh.
I mean, I'll probably be dead before some of these guys. They've
you
got really
so?
Great health care.
Let me see. Comedians that are dead. Hold on. Let me see which ones that are dead. Let's see. Oh, I mean, Sam Kinison.
Yeah, George Carlin.
Oh, Robin Williams.
Yeah, they're all great comedians.
Chris Farley.
No question about it. They were all fantastic and a lot of fun. George Carlin, real potty mouth. We'll see. Sam Kinison would be fun, but you know he's going to keep you up late at night.
Yeah. I like that I just am Googling right now dead comedians, and that's what's coming up. This took a really, really dark turn for when we're looking at celebrities.
I mean, who for you, though? If it's not Marilyn.
No, it's Marilyn.
I mean, but if you can't get it, if you can't afford Marilyn, whatever reason.
I can guarantee you that come Monday, I will be like, unfortunately, I couldn't afford the however many millions it's going to cost to be buried in that crypt right next to her.
Runner up.
Oh my gosh, I don't know. Well, it would be somebody that's alive. Like, right. I'd be like, put me next to like Tina Fey or Amy Poehler, but they would be so mad because they'd probably already bought plots next to each other being best friends and all. And there's like, no room for a third, and then I'm just going to feel left out, I guess.
I hope everybody makes it through the week safe.
Do you want me to keep reading all the dead celebrities that you could be buried next to?
I mean,
George Carlin would be a good time.
I feel like, you know, if you're going to get into one of those cemeteries, they shouldn't be auctioning them off, right? There should be some sort of qualification. It's almost like a Hall of Fame.
It's true. You know how many people come to visit you every day?
Right.
A lot. It's March Sauceness. Every week this past month, we've been talking about different sauces that you can make quick, easy cleanup at home during the week for your family. Chef Plum, 3-time Emmy nominated host of Restaurant Road Trip. Find him online at chefplum.com. We have done every kind of sauce, and if you've missed any of them, you can go to our Instagram or to annaandraven.com and see them there. But today, what do we need with the sauce?
You got
to
sop something up with it, right?
Oh, yes. I can't wait to eat bread.
I have this recipe that I'm going to share with you that is my go-to. It's so good for everything. Raven, you can make dumplings, you can make bread, pizza dough out of it.
Is this like a focaccia? It looks thicker than any that I've really had served to me before.
Yeah, so I made a focaccia out of this one. Phenomenal. So let me tell you how to make this, okay? So it's super, super simple, but there's one little chefy trick you have to do to it. So,
chefy trick.
And I'm going to say,
as a
chef.
That's a flashy one. I like that.
You're going to start off with 650 milliliters.
In normal people talk.
Yeah, it's a quart and a half, roughly.
Was that so hard?
Of warm water, and you're going to put it into a bowl, right? I use my mixing bowl from my KitchenAid mixer, so pour it in there. And then we're going to add about a teaspoon or so, a little bit more than a teaspoon of honey. Here's why. You're about to add yeast to this. Yeast has to have sugar, right? It has to have sugar because that's what it eats. And then basically the byproduct of the yeast eating the sugar is carbon dioxide, which is what causes all of those wonderful little bubbles in our bread to happen.
I mean, if you weren't a chef, you would have been a mad scientist.
Mr. Whiz Dog.
Seriously.
So that's what makes it leaven and get tall. Take that honey, put it in the warm water, give a little mix around so it kind of mixes in. And I take 7 grams or 1 packet of yeast, pour it in there, let it sit on the top of it. This is the chefy part here. We want the yeast to bloom, is what we call it. Now,
Just showing off.
Right.
Oh, stop it. But what we want to do is start to foam on top, right? Where it's making so much carbon dioxide, it's foaming on top. It takes about 5 or 6 minutes. That's no time at all. Once you're there, you're going to add 1 kilogram.
Come on, man. Speak American.
The whole bag?
Yeah, the 5-pound bag. Yeah. It's about half of it.
Okay. Half of a bag of, so 2.5 pounds.
Seems like it would have been easy to say it that way.
Right.
But thanks.
Well, you know.
So fancy.
And you're going to start mixing it in, right? You can mix it with your hands. I use my mixer with a dough hook and it just spins around. It's going to be a little bit sticky. I've found that when it comes to making bread, it's all about the hydration. This is the hydration amount that I like. And the one we're going to taste here today, I add a little rosemary lemon zest to the dough and mix it up so it's mixed in there so it's beautiful. And I take this bread or this dough.
I smell it.
And we're going to let it sit someplace a little bit warmer, you know, not even the sunlight's fantastic. Let it sit there so it starts to double in size. It'll happen in about 20 minutes.
You have to wait for the dough to rise.
Smell.
Yes.
The lemon zest in there.
Can you smell it?
I can.
Well, we've got some of the bread here, as you can see.
Nice.
We brought some to the studio. But once it rises, then we'll cut it in half is what I usually do, and I press it down into a cookie tray or whatever you call these things, a Pyrex container.
Yes.
Of some sort, a glass. You know, it's glass.
Casserole.
A glass.
Casserole dish.
A casserole dish.
There it is. That's why Raven's here.
Good thing I'm a chef.
So press it down into it. Use your fingers to press it to make little holes everywhere. And we're going to top with a little bit of olive oil and let it sit one more time for about 20 more minutes so it doubles in size yet again. Now you have another half a dough you can save. You can take that same dough. Anna, you can, as you're making a chicken soup, take little pieces of dough and drop it in. It makes beautiful dumplings in the soup. You can take that dough and roll it, put pepperoni and cheese in it, fold it in half. You have a beautiful calzone dough. It works for everything.
Are you eating over there all right?
I'm so hungry.
I mean,
I had to take a bite. It smelled so good, and I'm so hungry.
I've been waiting for him to stop talking.
I didn't think he ever was going to stop talking.
I'm right here.
Are we done?
Are the
ingredients done
now
yet?
Now what do I do? Just bake it? All right.
So then, once you had it, it doubled in size in your pan, your casserole dish like
oh,
this.
Oh, it's good.
I know.
Throw it in 400-degree oven, about 15, 20 minutes, and you're ready to rock and roll. Once you take it out of the oven, spray it with some olive oil, let it sit. It is the best. Taste it. You tell me.
It's so good.
Sop up any sauce you want with that.
Find them online at chefplum.com.
What do you think? You haven't said
it's delicious,
like it.
And I want to hurry up and finish it, so I have to end
I just
the
can't
segment.
Tell you like
thank
it.
You.
Yes.
I mean, the breadcrumbs like are on the bottom. They're just, it is good.
All right, that's what we want.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Go ahead, Jenny. What's driving you nuts right now?
If you have Christmas lights on your house or a dead Christmas tree in front of your house, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, actually, it's interesting you bring that up, Jenny. Raven, did you take your lights down finally?
I did, as a matter of fact. Oh. I got them down a few weeks ago, and my neighbor, as he's walking by, as I was on the ladder, he's like, wow, before Memorial Day?
Mm-hmm.
It was really warm. But it was also really windy. He's like, I'm not going to keep talking to you. I'll distract you.
It's one thing if you still have them up. It's another thing if you light them up. There's a couple people that I drive by their houses, and they're still lit up. I don't know. I used to be like, what are you doing? Like, get with the times. Now I'm like, I don't know. You want to celebrate year round? Go for it.
If they're up and it lifts your spirit, why not? But, you know, I get what you're saying.
Matt, that's all I need to know about you.
You drive a really nice car, but won't pay for your kids to play the sports they want. And that's all I need to know about you, pal.
It's true. It is expensive, all the sports and the activities for the kids. It's too expensive, if you ask me. But if you have the money for yourself to treat yourself, shouldn't you be taking care of your kids first?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're paying for your kids to play sports, and again, like you said, it's very expensive, and maybe it shouldn't be that way, but that's a different question. You know, you're making an investment in them, right? And so their well-being and all that. So, I mean, I don't think that you need a huge SUV to get there with 25-inch rims. That doesn't make sense to me.
Driving your Beamer, but you won't let the kids play travel hockey.
Yeah, my favorite is, you know, you've got the truck that's 20 feet in the air and has the diesel pipes on it and everything. Those things are not cheap.
Preston, that's all I need to know about you.
Well, all right. If you're a teacher and think it's okay to be rude to your students because they're kids, that's all I need to know about you. I mean, listen, my son has teachers that say the most obnoxious things, and we have to accept it because they're in charge.
That's tough.
Yeah, context is important, right? Mm-hmm. And there's two sides to everything, but, you know, some people, they lose the feel for what's appropriate and what's not, right?
You know, it's funny because I remember growing up, again, having immigrant parents, it was the teacher is always right. You always obey your teacher. And that is like the end of it. Like that was the end of the conversation. But as an adult, and I was a teacher myself, I would say that teachers are regular people.
Right.
And some of them are nuts. Just right. Like the average coworker is a crazy person. And like, you have to be able to tell your kids, you have to respect your teachers and listen to everything they do, but also understand that you have rights too. Don't speak back, but if there's a problem, come talk to mom.
I think we've seen example after example after example of the fact is that we need to pay attention.
Yes.
Right? And sometimes good people get jaded. Mm-hmm. They lose the feel for something. They lose their sensitivity to that. And they make terrible decisions.
Yeah.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
Earlier this month, we asked for your submissions. Items that you have around your house that you're like, I don't know how much this is worth. It's old. I know that. And joining us, it's Ryan Brecklin. He's an expert auctioneer and our friend from Nest Egg Auctions. Ryan, we sent you so many submissions. I flooded your inbox. And what did you pick to highlight?
So today I found something from Dawn, and this is a piece of German pottery. It looks like the material you're used to seeing a beer stein made out of.
Okay.
You know, it's that pottery or clay material, but this is something different. It's cylindrical, kind of looks like a cookie jar or a pot, and it has a lid with a cutout for a ladle.
Okay.
And I said, even though this looks like a beer stein, I'm pretty sure it's not for beer. And I had to look into it for a little bit, and it's for something called Rumtopf.
What's that?
Rumtopf is a German recipe, rum pot, and the way they make this is by putting rum, sugar, and throughout the growing season, different fruits.
Okay.
So
it's like the ultimate, I'm going to top off and make my own Slurpee at 7-Eleven.
I guess.
I mean, this flavor, that flavor, that flavor.
Think German sangria that takes months to make.
Oh my God. I mean, what would the first sip of that taste like
drunk?
After all that?
That's what it tastes like. It would just taste like you being drunk.
I think it's really funny that you guys just assume this is a drink.
It's not?
No, it's a topping for pound cake.
No kidding.
Oh, that.
Well, because I just
it.
Think it's fermenting.
Oh.
It is. Oh, it is. It's boozy. It's sweet. But if you drank this, you'd probably fall down. So put it over your pound cake, and now you get the booze and the taste.
Wow.
Fascinating. All right. So
explains the ladle.
What's the deal with it?
It's a common object. It's not as collectible as, let's say, beer steins or other German pottery. This particular one isn't all that exciting looking, but if it's from her family, it has history, right? And it's important. And now that she knows what it is, maybe she should make the rum top.
That sounds good, right?
Typically, these sell in the $25 to $50 range.
All right, so they're not really worth anything. You know, a lot of times people will send us things from other countries, and they just assume that because it's from another country, it's worth a lot of money. Are there any countries, like, I'm going to Italy over the summer with my family, and I know that we have a lot of old farms there and our family there. That I'm going to go through their basements and see what they have. Is there things that you should be looking for?
So when we travel abroad like that, the things you should be looking for is a forgotten piece of art. There are so many paintings that could be hiding in attics and basements, and they could be really valuable.
Well, since you brought up paintings, I want to touch on that because a lot of people sent us paintings and we're kind of staying away from them this week because it's really hard unless you have the actual painting to be like, yes, this is real. This is from this artist and this is what it's worth, right?
I love the idea of you going through your relatives' houses though and unexplainably just, you know, removing their paintings.
Different the Americans
artwork.
Are here.
Right.
The Americans are
Hide
here.
Hide the stuff. Yeah. Put it in the closets because they're just going to, you know, clear our walls.
Grandma, how much you want for this?
Right.
Paintings are really hard. For the most part, I get a lot of requests through the website where people say, hey, look, I found this painting at Goodwill or I found this at a tag sale. And I go, listen, it could be something. But if you can't trace the provenance from the artist making it to the dealer who sold it to the museum that exhibited it to the auction where it was sold, a lot of times you kind of have a nothing burger, right? It's just it's a beautiful thing. Hang it on the wall. Enjoy it. Because the authentication of art is not a black and white science.
Earlier this month, we asked you to send us submissions of items from around your home. And here we have Ryan Brecklin from Nest Egg Auctions. He's an expert auctioneer to tell us what exactly they're worth. And Ryan, I got to say, when I got this one and it said, found it in a dump. I was like, oh, okay. So what is this?
So this is from Jessica. And she states that she has a property dating back to the 1700s. And then while digging on the property, she found this plate. When I first saw it, I could think of is this thing looks ancient. The plate is chipped. It's got patina. It looks like it was taken out of a tomb somewhere.
Mm.
Now, I used my expertise and all of my knowledge to run it through Google Image Search. Which, by the way,
good
works
job.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And discovered that this plate is actually from 1951.
Oh.
It looks like it's 400 years old. This has just been in the ground for the last 50 years.
Okay.
It was made by a company called Homer Laughlin, and this piece is pretty common. It's called, I think, American Provincial.
It's and really ugly. Who would buy this? I mean, no offense if you have one of these in your cupboard right now. But
1951, this was cutting edge. This
I mean, it's like
great.
Amish people like right. holding a pitchfork and she's throwing some seed down to the chickens.
If it was in mint condition, it'd be like $20. Pretty common. In this condition, dug out of the ground, zero.
Aww. Yeah. Sadness.
Sorry.
Said earlier, and you said like you put it through Google search. Now, I know a lot of people are always like, they want to know what it's worth and they feel like they have to talk to an expert. But if you're just curious yourself, how can like an amateur sleuth find out something that they have what it's worth?
So on Google, select images. When you get there, press the little button for your camera on your mobile device. Take a picture of whatever it is and Google will reverse image search it. It'll find something that has the same colors, the same basic shape and the same basic elements of the image. And if there's something in existence, it'll come back with results.
Hmm. I mean, that at least gets you your first step
yes.
right there. Then, you know, it tells you whether or not there's a reason for you to pique your curiosity a bit more.
Exactly. So where you would need the help of an expert or an appraiser is determining originality. Is it the original item? Can we judge its condition based on other examples of that object? So it's a great start. It's not going to immediately be like, bam, hey, you know what? That's worth $10,000. It's more like,
here's your money.
Now I know what it is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Ryan Brecklin from Nest Egg Auctions. Ryan, I know you have another venture, too, that you just kicked off that's been doing very well.
So it took us a few years, but we were able to legislate, create, and obtain a permit for a new type of auction, and we will be selling collectible wine, whiskey, and spirits legally at auction for the first time in the Northeast.
Okay, and where do people get more information on that?
That's called Good Bottle Auctions, and you go to our website, find us on socials, and take a look. It's kind of interesting to see what people are buying and what they're paying for rare bottles of whiskey and wine.
And what's available.
That's true.
Give me some of that.
Yeah. I'm always, you know, I host a lot of auctions for charities, and I'm always shocked by the amount of money I get for cases of wine. It's always tremendous to me.
What makes the market so interesting is that you're buying an object that can be an investment. You're buying an object that could be an asset. And if you like it, you can also drink it.
It's consumable.
Yeah.
Right. You can go through it in a weekend.
Ryan Brecklin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's Fired Friday. You share a story about something terrible that happened at work when it all went wrong, and then we're going to guess whether or not you got fired. Calvin, what happened?
All right. So I was at an internship in a physical therapy place, and unfortunately, there was a young girl there, maybe 4 years old, and she was doing some balance exercises, and they asked me to spot her. Now, me being somebody completely new, I didn't know that meant I could hold her hand. So I just kind of, like, stood by her, and she totally wiped out, fell on her head. It was really bad, really embarrassing, and yeah, that's my story.
You were spotting a kid, and they fell on their head. Hmm.
I mean, kids take tumbles. You're an intern. It's physical therapy. I don't think they're putting that balance beam 4 feet in the air. It's not a gymnastics course. So I'm saying you kept your job. You were all right. Reprimanded, instructed, but kept your job.
I'm going to say that if you're not competent enough to catch a young child that's falling off of a balance beam, that's, you know, that's your job, that you're probably going to get let go. What happened?
All right. So I got chewed out pretty good, but no, I kept my job, and it was an internship, so, you know, I might have been fired if I was getting paid.
Yeah. Well, you didn't mention that. It was an unpaid internship.
Right.
Then I would have been
can
like,
they still
nah,
do that? I don't think they can do that anymore.
I know. Yeah, back in the day, all my internships were unpaid. Now people look at you like you're crazy when you say that.
If you were paid, maybe you would have gotten. Yeah.
Gavin, what happened at work? We're going to guess whether or not you got fired.
Yeah, so I work at this club, and I bartend, and It was a late night. It was after hours. We had a bunch of champagne that was already open from a client that was there, a spender, they call them. And we were just pouring out glasses of champagne to the customers that are still lingering around. This beautiful, kind of older woman, probably, you know, like 60, something like that. She rolls in, really attractive. And so I'm doing my usual flirty thing. I'm just saying, hey, you look beautiful tonight. Welcome. We're closing up, but I can pour you some champagne. I just chatted her up a little bit, just nice. And about 5 minutes later, I'd never met the owners. The owner walks out with her around his arm, and it's his wife. And I think I was a little bit too flirty with her, and I was giving away the champagne. And anyway, it was pretty I had a lot of egg on my face, if you know what I mean. I felt pretty like I was maybe flirting a little too hard with the owner's wife.
I think you keep the job. I don't think that she's telling him every bit of that information. If you're doing a good enough job, right, she might enjoy a little attention. Yeah.
If somebody flirted with my mom in front of my dad, he would 100% fire him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He would be like, you don't mess with my mom. That is a big thing. Even when she would, like, because we would have restaurants and she would host us and run the front. Mm. If somebody was giving her a hard time about how long they were waiting,
sure,
my dad would still throw them out.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that if it's like a mom and pop family run place, that you probably lost your job.
It sounds like a club. I mean, it sounds like a bigger club.
Was it a club? What happened?
What happened?
It was a big club. It was a big club. About 2 days later, when I got called into work, they called me in to fire me in person. And the general manager, who was actually very cool to me, he was like, dude, she just shut it down and told him to get rid of you. Hmm. So I got fired. Yep.
I hope you learned your lesson.
I know who you're flirting with.
Older women. Yeah.
And college basketball's biggest night is underway.
The coolest mammals on the planet. There can be only one. Who will be the champion? It's Anna and Raven's Mammal Madness.
While the entire country is obsessed with basketball around here, we're looking to crown the coolest mammal of all time.
I'm not going to say it hasn't been without an emotional roller coaster, mm-hmm. Anna. Sometimes you come in with such high hopes for something and it just falls short.
Yeah, so we started with the Elite Eight. You can see the entire bracket online at annaandraven.com on our website. And now we're going to the Final Four. So far, we have the number one seed, Norwal.
Yeah. Narwhal. I feel like we say it different every time.
Narwhal.
It's that whale with a spike on it, like a unicorn.
It looks like a unicorn, right. The orangutan has made it to the next round. And the rhino.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, the rhino taking out goat yesterday. I thought he was the greatest of all time. Turns out he's just really cool, and they're cute when they faint.
All right, but we got to figure out who's going to be the last one of the Final Four. And we have quite a matchup today. We're going to start with the number six seed. Anteater.
The giant anteater is the largest of the four anteater species, reaching up to 7 feet in length. Anteaters are edentates, which is a fancy way of saying they have no teeth.
They don't have any teeth!
7 feet long? That's
terrifying. They're huge. Have you ever seen one?
Terrifying. Why don't they eat people?
Oh, because they don't have any teeth. Did you hear what they just said?
But with a tongue that can reach 2 feet in length, eating is never a problem. Their tongue can flick up to 150 times a minute, letting them gobble up tens of thousands of insects each day.
They're 7 feet long, and their tongue is 2 feet long, so really when it's fully extended, they're 9 feet long.
I want to imagine that you're going down to the water, right? Or you're somewhere in the woods, and you can't see around a corner, and it's a little bit dark, and then all of a sudden you hear this over your shoulder. It's terrifying!
Anteaters, without exaggeration, are one of the coolest animals I've ever seen in my entire life. What's happening to that anteater?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
This is terrifying stuff.
So who's going up against the anteater? The cheetah.
This famously spotty feline is the fastest land mammal on Earth. Cheetahs have to sneak up on their prey because they can only sprint for about 15 seconds before they overheat and have to stop.
What?
15 seconds.
Wait, did you know that?
Hey, listen, if you're being chased at 35 miles per hour, 15 seconds is a lifetime.
I mean, I think they go faster than that.
But if you're waiting for lunch, 15 seconds is nothing.
I mean, I didn't know that they were only good for short sprints. They could never be cross-country runners.
15 seconds. That's it. But listen to a cheetah when it makes some noise.
It sounds kind of cute for somebody that's going to rip your face off and eat it.
I think that's the trick.
Their unique spine allows them to stretch out and cover about 30 feet in one stride.
Wait.
Wait a minute.
Boy, hold on.
Right. 15 seconds at 30 feet every second?
Their That's unique great. Spine allows them to stretch out and cover about 30 feet in one stride.
It has a magic spine. Cheetahs have magic spines. What is that?
By the time you see it, it's already on you.
All right. Well, it's going to come down to you. You have to vote right now. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Which mammal is making it to the final four? The cheetah or the anteater?
So much pressure.
While the entire country is watching basketball around here, we're looking to crown the greatest mammal of all time.
I mean, I can watch replay or DVR of people. I just need to see the results of the games. Here, we're dealing with mammals. This is life, Anna.
Yeah, we went straight to the Elite Eight. You can see the entire lineup in the bracket at annaandraven.com. But so far, going to the Final Four, we have the Narwhal, Orangutan, and Rhino. Who's going to take that last spot? And if you missed it, it's between a cheetah and an anteater. I will tell you, Raven, shockingly, on social media, 80% of people went to cheetah, but a lot of these calls keep coming in for the anteater.
You know, I feel like the cheetah's got a great publicist, right? I mean, everybody knows what a cheetah looks like. We think of them as just so fast. It's the fastest cat ever. But 15 seconds in one direction and you need to take a break? That's not how we work around here.
Yeah, that's what we just learned. We learned they can only sprint for 15 seconds. I was like, what?
I've seen
high school kids run faster than that in track.
To be fair, they go 30 feet in one stride.
Yeah, because they have weird spines that elongate them. But the anteater is 7 feet long, and its tongue is another 2 feet.
That is the size of a Camry.
All right, well, ultimately, what it comes down to, the first upset of the bracket. The anteater taking out the cheetah, making it to the final four.
It's amazing, right? I mean, just think about it. If they took out the cheetah, what's next? Nobody could stand in their way. They could take this thing all the way to the end.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Every week we check in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see if he's been behaving.
Hello.
What is going on?
I'm babysitting Anna.
Oh, you got that baby?
I do, and he's rolling like crazy all over the place.
Oh, my gosh.
So he did his first roll at our house last week. And it was kind of like, you know, it was very exciting, obviously, for us because he's been working on it. But, you know, we had a debate as to whether or not to call the kids and tell them. So I was like, because we didn't want to be hurtful, but he did it like 3 times before the time they got over. Like, once he did it once, he was like, I'm going to do this all the time.
So what did they say? Were they sad that they missed the baby rolling over for the first time?
She was upset because apparently the first time he laughed was with her mom, I believe. So she missed the laugh. But actually, none of us saw the rollover. The Ring camera got it, so she had the video. But I put him down to go wash my hands or to go make his bottle, and he was so angry. He was so angry that he threw himself over. Mm-hmm. But he was screaming like I was trying to kill him. So I'm like, do I even show her this video? Because now I look like torturing the baby because I put him down.
Oh, it's so funny. I remember I missed a lot of first milestones. I mean, it's like the curse of being a working mom. You're not always there. So I missed the first roll. I missed the first crawl. I missed the first walk. I missed all of it. But I remember when Hayden started rolling, that's my older daughter. She's 15 now. She would get so good at it that I would like put her on the floor for safety, walk out of the room, and then I would find her and she would be stuck against the wall.
Oh my
God. She
would
just get to the wall and be like face forward against it.
We had this terrifying discussion last night. She's like, where's this baby going to roll tomorrow? I was like, what do you mean? And then I started thinking about it. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. Where is this baby going to roll tomorrow?
Yep.
Yeah.
So how's, besides watching the baby and being all happy about that, how's Raven been?
He's been baking, and you guys need to stop this. No more. baking.
We still have,
Please.
We have 2 more weeks of baking.
Mm-hmm.
We have 2 more weeks.
Well, I hope you enjoy it today. We'll be trying the carrot cake. That was your choice,
that
right?
That was my choice, the carrot cake. Yeah, Raven is an excellent baker now, and he's going to be baking every week.
I need transportation dishes.
Yeah. Now he needs a traveling cake container.
Yeah.
He needs everything. Yeah. He's making a mess of the kitchen. Why couldn't you guys challenge him to cook meals? I mean, how about that?
It's so much more delicious to have like a slice of cake. How was the carrot cake? Because we didn't taste it yet.
I haven't tasted it yet either. He left a little chunk here at home and I have not tasted it.
Oh, we're going to do that soon.
This is amazing.
You know.
The big reveal.
We have to wear bathing suits in 5 minutes, Anna, and he's baking cakes all the time.
It's true. Alicia, I have to ask you something, and Raven doesn't know I'm asking this, but did he go buy new jeans recently, and is it because I made fun of his jeans?
No, I've been trying to get him to buy new jeans, and he will not buy new jeans.
No, you didn't?
No.
Oh, I feel like the ones today you have on are normal because I yelled at you last week.
Oh, no, no, no.
Because I said to him one day we were doing videos, I'm like, you have to stop wearing these whitewashed ripped jeans like it's 1987 and totally fine.
First concert, Def Leppard. It was a lot of fun.
I'm not a fan of the ripped jeans either, no, Anna. I'm on the same page as you.
Just throw them away. Just throw them away.
Oh, I thought you were bringing this up because you knew it was a hurtful statement when you made it.
No.
But now here you are.
Throw away the ripped jeans so he stops wearing them to work. And go help him buy some modern jeans, please.
I like my jeans.
Yeah. Girls can wear ripped jeans still in our 40s. Men cannot.
It's true. If you dress them up correctly, it's fine, but it's over for the guys.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah. So what kind of grade would you like to give him for the week?
Anna, I can't deal with the baking anymore. He's getting a C. He's lucky it's not a D. You guys are making him do it, so he's getting a C.
He's actually really excited to do it. He's so happy to bake. I think it brings him joy.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Life is not easy, so here's your chance to vent. What did you do this week to earn your margarita? 1-800-330-9999. Gavina.
Yeah, so my husband pulled his back this last week, so I was on diaper duty the entire week, and I think I've earned a margarita after changing a week of diapers all by myself.
For the baby or for your husband?
Oh, gosh.
Back pain is serious.
Just the baby, thankfully. Otherwise, I need something stronger than a margarita.
I agree. You get the straight bottle of tequila.
Claudia, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
My margarita is coming because my daughter is going to college, and we accepted, like, the acceptance. Like, they said, yes, you're in, and we finally clicked the button of, like, yes, we're going. Here's my $500. So we now have a Boilermaker.
Congratulations.
Boilermaker, wish.
Thank you.
Purdue. Yeah.
Wow.
That's great.
That's great, huh? Congratulations.
Thank you.
How stressful was the college process for you as a parent?
I didn't think that senior year was going to be like this. It was way more stressful than I had ever anticipated. It's like you never got a chance just to be a senior and have fun, because the very first day that junior year ended, they are just bombarding you with, okay, here's what's next, here's how to go to college, here's what you need to do, here's where you need to be. And it was like, boom, in your face. And it's a lot.
There's a lot of people I'm learning in my town that hire people to handle the college process with their children.
Yeah.
And this is all new to me. My daughter's only a freshman, so I still have to learn all of this and navigate it. But it's so crazy to me because when I was in high school, my parents were immigrant Italians. Like, nobody had gone to college.
Right.
Nobody knew what to do. You just filled out the applications, and you sent it, and then you waited to hear back. So the fact that it's so involved and difficult, and there's so much to go along with it is kind of surprising to me. I feel like it's something I'm going to have to learn about a lot in the next couple of years.
It's kind of like a headhunt. Well, either way, you certainly earned your margarita. Congratulations to you and the family.
I will.
Lindsay, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
So I accidentally sent a text to my work group chat instead of my husband.
Whoa. Wait a minute.
What was it?
Luckily, it was very PG, but there's a potluck going on at work, and I meant to send my husband a text asking if my boss was going to bring her kids' opened leftover granola again.
I mean,
that's pretty terrible.
Right, and how do you explain that after? It just almost been better if it was some sort of personal.
It would have definitely been better if it was an eggplant emoji or something else.
Yeah.
Did anybody say anything?
There was a couple of the wide eye emojis, and I responded with oh my gosh, my kids took my phone.
Oh, I'm not buying that if I'm the boss.
No, you know what happened. You know 100% what happened.
Yeah, you're on thin ice with me.
Yeah.
Thin granola. We'll be watching you.
Well, you enjoy your margarita.
Yeah. Might be your last, so enjoy it.
Yeah, I need it.
Raven is a professional baker now.
I am a fantastic baker chef guy. Remember, I told you that is the title, right?
Yeah, so Raven decided a few weeks ago that he was going to start baking.
Well, so here's the thing. My wife's birthday was coming up, and she wanted something homemade, right? So I was like, you know what? It's easy. I'm going to make your cake. And while I did it, it was pleasant. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to make another cake, And St. Patty's Day, I made another cake.
So producer Sean, producer John, and I all came up with an idea. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have you bake cakes every single week. And we get to choose which kind of cake we want. Last week, you made a delicious, what kind of cake was that?
It was a lemon cake. And I'll tell you, it was delightful.
It was? It was. That was your choice.
It was.
So you are a lemon cake guy.
Big time.
And you said the cake was good.
It was delightful.
And I made that cake by scratch.
But why did it taste like it had cornmeal in it?
It had buttermilk. It's not a substitute that a lot of people make, but it's a little bit Southern.
I had several people ask me, is he really making these cakes? And the answer is, as far as I know, he is.
That's what I'm saying. So,
where would I be getting them if I wasn't?
I don't know. So this week, it was my turn to pick a cake, and I chose a carrot cake because I know you can either make a carrot cake awesome or it can be terrible. So tell us about your process of making this carrot cake.
First off, I don't go fat-free or low on anything. All right. And I do everything fresh ingredients because I really do think that it makes a difference. I left out any nuts because, you know, you've got nut allergies in your family. So I didn't want you to go home, kiss your daughter, and I be the reason that you did something terrible.
The first thing I said when he cut into it, I go, where are the nuts?
Right.
And he was like, he's like, you have severe nut allergies at your house and you don't eat nuts. I go,
think of your daughter.
I know. That was kind of you to think that.
But I mean, you're eating it already. So what do you think so far?
I think it's light. I think it's fluffy. I think it's moist, man.
This is really good.
Mm-hmm. Is it really?
The frosting's great.
I haven't eaten it yet. Hold on. The frosting is also homemade. So I, you know, you can get the bagged cream cheese frosting, but it's so easy to make the frostings if you just take the time, and it makes such a difference. Well, and these are fresh grated carrots. It was the most scary time of baking it. Thought I was going to lose a finger.
I also was concerned, which is why I picked it. I go, I want to know.
Are you trying to lead me into death here?
No, I was thinking, I was like, if he makes a carrot cake, is he going to go to the store and buy the mix? Mm-hmm. Or, and I'll be able to tell, because it'll have the actual ground carrots if he ground the carrots.
Right.
And there are actual ground carrots in this cake.
I grated the carrots. There was a trick, too, that will make it a little bit more dense and moist. But I didn't have the time.
So quickly, what were the ingredients for this carrot cake that you made?
It's 2 eggs. It's a half cup of sugar, I think, goes in. There's vanilla, flour, the fresh carrots, cinnamon, and then that little extra something, nutmeg. Don't be afraid of the nutmeg. I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple things. But what amazed me was it was really easy to mix and blend. And then at the end, you know, the frosting, you know, I'm learning tricks. That's all I'll say is, you know, I'm learning tricks. The frosting got really dense, and then I microwaved, and like, I learned little things, you know.
So, go ahead, Sean.
I'm sorry. Really good, but I know the third cake is I'm choosing red velvet cake.
Mm-hmm.
I love red velvet cake. I want to challenge you a bit. Make it a layer cake.
I was just going to say that.
No.
Wow.
No. Wow. No. No. See, I know that you guys were setting me up for this when you said carrot cake. I'm not ready.
You can do a layer cake.
I'm not ready.
You're ready.
Just cut it in half. Throw some frosting in between. You're good.
Wait, Raven.
Use 2 8-inch pans instead of using one big sheet pan. And just stack it with the frosting in the middle. You are blown me away. You can bake. This will be an easy step 2 for you. I think it's a good challenge.
My only question is, are you scared?
Well, here's the thing. I thought when everybody said cut it in half, they were lying to me.
What do you mean?
I thought you were all setting me up for failure.
No. You can layer it. You'll be able to do it. It's a good challenge for next week.
I'm sweating already. This cake is good, though, huh?
Yeah, it's good. That's good.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I'm going to eat the whole thing, too.
It's not bad. Couples Court on the Anna and Raven
Show. Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. You know what? Let's start with Russell. Russell, what's going on?
So the thing is my girl, like, okay, she goes to the car wash. She puts her card in to get a car wash. And what's happened is it's scanning that she is owed a free car wash. So she's going in every single time and she's getting a free car wash and just she's sitting there acting like nothing's going on. Now, I'm all for like, hey, you got lucky, you got a free car wash. But all the time these people run a business. I mean, this is how can you sit there? It's like taking money out of somebody's mouth. I love her to death, but this is one thing where I'm kind of, it really makes you question a few things, right?
Lisa, what did you do? Did you crack the code? How did you end up getting all these free car washes?
I didn't do anything, and honestly, I feel like he should be grateful because he's always complaining about how I'm always spending money, but now we're getting the car wash for free.
I mean, car washes around my place, at least $12 nowadays, right?
For
the most basic of the car
mine
washes.
Mine are so expensive. I don't even go. It's just like my husband. I never wash my car unless my husband takes it. Otherwise, it just stays the way it is.
Same. Look at mine. I mean, in all the time that I've owned my vehicle, I think I've maybe washed it once or twice. It only gets washed when it goes to the dealership, and that's because it's free.
But the thing is, it'd be different, right? If it was like, oh, you're just going like once every few weeks, it still would be morally wrong if that was happening. But when you're going multiple times a week and you're sitting there like your car always looks spotless because you're getting free car washes, it's just a little ridiculous, you know?
Babe, you're exaggerating. I don't go multiple times a week. I might go once a week, which, true, it is a lot to get a car wash. But if it's happening for free, we should be grateful for the blessing.
Yeah. If I ran through a puddle and I was getting free car washes and it was close by, I'd probably go through the car wash every day.
So there's got to be a glitch with your card. Like, that's what it comes down to. There's some kind of glitch on this card that's giving you these free car washes.
But here's the thing. I mean, if you've got that glitch and nobody's noticed so far, and you've checked your accounts and nobody's billing you, I mean, that glitch could theoretically go on forever. You have no way of knowing. The second you tell somebody, forget it.
Well, right. They're going to fix it. Because they're going to fix it. And then you're going to pay like everybody else pays for your car washes.
Right.
I don't know.
As you should be, because you've got people. What if we had a car wash business and this glitch was going on? People, would you see it as stealing if it was our business?
I would see it as a mistake on our end, and we should fix it and not hold the person who is getting their car washes accountable for our mistake.
All right. Well, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Lisa. This is the car washes glitch. Whatever card they issued you is giving you these free car washes, and it's, you know, you're just enjoying it. You're not doing anything wrong. They're telling you you're all set every time you go and get the car wash. But they,
right.
You may see Russell's side, too, that, yeah, no, it's wrong. You know you're supposed to be paying. You know you're supposed to get one free car wash or whatever, and now you just get free car washes all the time, and you should say something and speak up, because you're stealing.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Is it stealing? I guess that's really the question. Russell and Lisa have been having a disagreement because Lisa got this card that they gave her at her car wash that, you know, when you get a certain amount, you get free car washes. But for some reason, it just keeps giving her free car washes. Every time she goes for a car wash and they scan it, they tell her she's all set. She hasn't paid for a car wash in the last 6 times she was there.
You know, I hear everybody talking about karma here, right? That's Russell's big driving point is karma. You know, you're effectively stealing. Guess what? I've got reward cards to places that every time I scan them, they never work. So I figure it's coming out in the wash, all right? As far as, you know, the Holy Spirit or whoever is concerned, it's coming out in the wash. Sometimes you don't get what's coming to you, and sometimes you get a little extra.
Lisa says that she's not doing anything wrong. She goes to pay. They tell her she's all set. She walks out the door. Russell says, what you're doing is illegal. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Candy, whose side are you on?
So my 20-year-old self says, you go, girl. My 40-year-old self says, that's stealing.
Interesting perspective over
big
time.
Conflict, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
You know what? If your 20-year-old self and your 40-year-old self had a wrestling match, which one would win?
Well, my 20-year-old self is definitely stronger. Yeah.
Yeah, but your 40-year-old self is more vicious,
oh, it's
right? Because life has changed us.
Yeah.
It's jaded us.
Exactly.
Yeah. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. Russell and Lisa are having a disagreement. Lisa has like a card at her local car wash that when you get a certain amount, they scan it and you get a free car wash. But for some reason, it just keeps giving her free car washes. The last 6 have been free. And she doesn't say a word. She scans it. They tell her she's all set. She moves on with her life.
It's a victimless crime in her eyes. But Russell says, you're taking money right out of the owner's mouth here. What's going on? This is not morally correct. I just want you to imagine that you had a pizza card that did this. What would you do?
Eat a lot of pizza?
Yeah, I would.
No, I would immediately say something. But what would you do? Is she doing it wrong? 1-800-330-9999. John, whose side are you on?
I am on the Hudson side. Karma's going to come back when the car is going to be full of all scratches and swells from all these washes.
Believing in karma. I like it.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, the detraction, the fact that karma is coming back to get on you, is that he doesn't believe in automatic car washes because it's going to scratch the finish anyways.
Okay.
Sheila, whose side are you on today?
Oh, I think she should stop doing that. I think that this is what's wrong with the world. Yeah. You know it's wrong, don't do it.
Yeah,
do one to others.
I knew that was coming. Sheila, have you ever gotten anything for free?
Yes. but I always give it. If I get too much change, I give it back.
She's like, I get things for free. It's not illegally. John, what do you think?
Oh, he's definitely right. She's shiesty. It's no different than if she somebody drop money on the floor in front of you. You don't just pick it up and put it in your pocket and say, oh, well, it's their mistake.
But if somebody dropped that money on the floor and they were gone 5 minutes before me and I don't see whose money that was, well, that's my money now.
Then it might become a different story.
That's a different story. I mean, they're not packing up the car wash and leaving town. They're still there.
All I'm saying is, John, somebody dropped this car wash right here on this floor. They dropped it right here. You know, as a matter of fact, they dropped it on my car. That's what they did.
Mm-hmm. They dropped it on her car multiple times.
That's right.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Russell, our audience agreed with you today. Lisa, you got to speak up. You're stealing.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I'm not the moral police, Lisa. I mean, I would rather loan you my car for a day or two before you go and tell them, get me a car wash out of this thing. But I guess the votes just weren't with you.
That's fine, I guess. I'll be a good Samaritan, a good person, and tell them about their mistake.
Mm. Russell, you got to be happy.
Yeah, I mean, she's great on everything else. It's not like she's morally a bad person. It's just this one little thing that she's sitting there and you're like, wait a second. What, if we're cutting corners here, where else would we be cutting corners? You know, it's bad karma. It's bad karma, you know?
All right. Well, good news, Russell. You're both getting into heaven now because you narked out on the free car washes. Thanks.
Mm.
Right. Thank you, honey.
Anytime.
If anybody has a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCore@AnnaAndRaven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,200. Thanks to New Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in 14 days. 5 luxurious scents available online and in stores near you. All right, Scott, we've got a lot of money on the line. You ready to play?
Sure thing.
All right, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, man.
Okay.
Thank you.
So Raven is walking out of here. That big studio door is going to close, and he won't be able to hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in, answer the same questions. Scott, whoever gets the most right wins. It's easy, but ties do go to Raven, okay?
Sure thing.
Okay, number one. Whoopi Goldberg called out an audience member for recording during her daytime talk show. What show is that?
Oscars?
Number two, McDonald's will begin selling Krispy Kreme donuts nationwide starting in 2026. The very first McDonald's was opened in what state back in 1940?
Ooh, Illinois or California?
Number three, Matt Groening, Simpsons creator, says the characters are yellow because they wanted something that looked different on TV and would grab people's attention. What fictional town do the Simpsons take place in?
Springfield.
Number four, Godzilla X Kong or Verse Kong is projected to be the big winner this weekend at the box office. What kind of animal is Kong?
Gorilla?
Number five, the Titanic door prop that kept Rose alive sold at auction for $718,000. What actress played Rose?
Kate Winslet.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Ew.
Just have to Google something really quick.
Double check it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm right. But
better
let me
to
sure.
get it right.
Yeah, okay. Don't know. 3 out of 5 for Scott.
But pretty good. Let's see here.
Number one, Whoopi Goldberg called out an audience member for recording during her daytime talk show. What show is that?
Oh, she's on The View.
That's right. Number two, McDonald's will be selling Krispy Kreme donuts nationwide starting in 2026. The very first McDonald's was opened in what state back in 1940?
I know this because my best friend's dad was a huge McDonald's franchisee. It was California, right?
That's right. Yeah. Number three, Matt Groening, Simpsons creator, says that the characters are yellow because they wanted something that looked different on TV and would grab attention. What fictional town do the Simpsons take place in?
Springfield.
That's right. You guys are tied. Number four, Godzilla X Kong. I mean, are we supposed to say Verse Kong?
I don't know. Yeah,
I watched like 17 interviews. Nobody says anything. I don't think anybody knows what we're supposed to call it.
That's the biggest allure of the movie.
Yeah. but it's projected to be the big winner this weekend at the box office. What kind of animal is Kong?
Kong is an ape.
Ape is correct. No. So that's what he said. Scott said gorilla. A gorilla and an ape are different because gorillas don't have tails.
Okay.
Yes, I just learned that.
Wow.
All right. Number five, the Titanic door prop that kept Rose alive sold at auction for $718,000. What actress played Rose?
Kate Winslet.
That's right. All right, Scott, he beat you 5-3 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Well, this is Scott, and I can't beat Raven.
Before there was a time that you could get them, my best friend had the things that you could make Egg McMuffins at home in
a perfect circle. Yeah, I want
before you could buy them.
Get me one of those for Christmas.
And they told me how to do all the cheats on the menu in like the 90s. It was crazy. Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $2,300 Monday.